Tonight, I want to just bring a little short devotional from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is familiar scriptures to us. And it's my message is called The Mystery of Iniquity. The Mystery of Iniquity, subtitle, and the New Age Religion. New Age Religion. So let's read 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, and verses 3 to 12. Familiar scriptures, but anyhow, let's read them. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That day is the day of the Lord, amen? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And how you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, Paul said. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not a love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's just offer this scripture to the Lord and see what he wants to say to us tonight. I know what he already wants to say to me through it. I don't know what he's going to say to you, though. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this scripture that is familiar to us, Lord. People who believe in the rapture and the coming of the Antichrist and the tribulation period, Lord, and your return to set up your millennial kingdom, Lord. We know about that stuff, Lord, and we're familiar with it. But we pray, Lord, tonight as we contemplate what it is that you want to speak to each one of us out of this portion of Scripture, Lord, our ears will be open to hear what you want to say to us, Lord. We thank you for your word that warns us and tells us, Lord, what's going to happen in the future. And we know, Lord, that your word, your prophecies from your word are 100% accurate, and we can trust whatever it is that you say here to us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that tonight we would be attentive to what you want to speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The New Age is not one unified religion or doctrine. It's not just one unified religion or doctrine. It's a religious philosophy that comes in a confusing variety of forms. At its heart is the divinity of self. I am God. So people are free to build whatever personalized brand of New Age religion they please. They can make up their own mind what they think about it. The New Age has been thoroughly discredited many times since its inception. Its channelers, the people who believe that they're channeling God, have often proved to be charlatans. Its prophecies have often proved false. It has demonstrated a frightful level of gullibility and rampant dishonesty. It is filled with contradictions. Its gurus and organizations have failed by the thousands. It is faddish and has been highly commercialized, and also simply just, it's just ridiculous. The New Age religion, if you look at it, from our perspective, it's ridiculous. It's not even sensible. Its practitioners are hypocritical in the extreme, claiming that they are gods when they live like the devil, calling for world harmony when they can't even get along with their own neighbours, calling for global peace when they can't maintain peace in their own marriages even, saying that truth is not found in doctrine while publishing mountains of New Age doctrine in books by the millions, calling for tolerance when they are viciously intolerant, not only of Bible truth, but often even of competing New Age philosophies amongst themselves. They can be very, very vicious. Yet the New Age keeps growing. For some reason, it keeps growing. And what is the reason that this New Age movement keeps growing and expanding and everyone seems to be interested in it? Well, the reason is, one aspect of it is the mystery of iniquity. That is prophesied in our opening scripture of 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. All right? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. The New Age religion is part of the mystery of iniquity. The term mystery in the New Testament means something that was formerly hidden but is now revealed. The mystery of iniquity is the revelation that the spirit of Antichrist would be working through the church age. In 1 John 2:18 we read, "Little children, it is the last time." In other words, it's the end days. "And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come." Actually, you better have a look at this, please. 1 John 2:18. Let's read this because I want to point something out here. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children," John writing from the Isle of Patmos, he says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists," plural, "whereby we know that it is the last time." All right, John said that on the Isle of Patmos. Here we see that there will be one Antichrist singular. There will be an Antichrist singular at the end of the age. You see there it says, "Little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist singular, shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists," plural, "whereby we know that it is the last time." So here we see that there will be one Antichrist singular at the end of the age. But there are presently Antichrist plural in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 calls these Antichrists the mystery of iniquity, all these plural Antichrists. The coming of Christ will be preceded by the appearance of the Antichrist singular, a world ruler who is called many things in Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3 is called that man of sin and the son of perdition. He will announce that he is God and will sit in the rebuilt temple, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. In Revelation 13 we are told that Antichrist, the person, will require that the whole world worship him on pain of death if you don't. You better bow down. Hey, Daniel was told, and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were told, you've got to bow down. When you hear the music playing, you've got to bow down and worship that God. Not going to do it. God protected them. Daniel got chucked in the lion's den. The lions didn't eat him. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, shake the bed, make the bed, and in the bed you go. They got chucked in the fiery furnace. And they survived. Miraculously survived. So God will protect us through that was looking forward as a type to the day when everyone shall bow down and worship Antichrist. And if you don't, they'll kill you. We won't be here. We'll be gone in the rapture by that time, my friends. 2 Timothy 3:13 describes the course of the church age as a gradual growth of error. In verse 13 it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." On the one hand, Christ is at work in the church age through Bible-believing churches to call sinners to salvation before it's too late. By this means, the body of Christ is being populated with saved people from the ends of the earth. On the other hand, the devil is at work trying to hinder the gospel and preparing men's minds for the rise of Antichrist, like Carl. You see what's going on? The mystery of iniquity is working on Carl. That's the devil trying to stop Carl from getting saved. That's the devil's job. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, you see. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul tells us, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." This word letteth is an old English word meaning to restrain. There is one that is in the world that has the power to restrain the devil's program until God is finished with his work for the church age and the body of Christ is complete. That one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in the restraining the Antichrist from coming fully into being, from appearing. The mystery of iniquity still has the power to stop people from hearing the gospel. That's why we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to get on his case, get on Carl's case. So it's the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, who came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago to empower the church for the work of world evangelism. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd be wasting our time going into the world and preaching the gospel, because it's the Holy Spirit who takes the gospel message and brings conviction upon the person's heart. We don't know how that works. Just preach the gospel. Yeah, but I want to tell this bloke about creation. Creation's right and evolution's wrong. And I'm sure they'll believe in God then. No, God said, preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Not understanding about creation or whatever. Anything else. We need to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and convicts people's hearts. It says, I will send a comforter into the world who will bring conviction of sin. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no conviction of sin, you see. We just go by our conscience. It wears out. So, we are told in Acts 1:8 that after his resurrection, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We are now situated in the period somewhere towards the end of the church age. Multitudes have been redeemed out of every nation on earth, out of every tribe and tongue. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ will begin to open the seals of the book that contains the title deeds to overthrow the present world system and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth as described in Revelation 4:1-5. Before the great tribulation begins, however, the Lord Jesus Christ will catch away or rapture all living church age saints, and he will resurrect all those who were already dead. Amen? Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll read that. I know you're familiar with it, but let's read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Hey, when I die, don't all cry. Yeah, you can cry. "Oh, he's right here." Well, praise the Lord. But don't cry because you don't know what's happened to me. I'll tell you what, we have hope. We do not fear death. The sting of death is no longer in us, alright? So, you can cry if you want to. I won't be here to talk to you, alright? Comfort you. She might cry. Or get it. What did I get told this afternoon? Sometimes I can be grumpy. That's right, yeah. Anyhow, you'll miss my grumpiness. But anyhow, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe in that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We'll not go before them, alright? "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Resurrection, out of the grave, alright? They're going to be first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Wow! Is that good news? Don't be scared. It says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Some people get frightened and think, "Oh, the rapture's going to come. I mightn't be ready." Well, you need to get ready. Make sure you're ready. It's very easy. Just obey God. Just serve God. Hey, no monkey business. Serve God. God can see everything we're doing and everything we're thinking. We need to keep short accounts with God. When the rapture comes, I'll see you there. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it says in here, comfort one another with these words. What if I said, "Jesus coming tomorrow"? Oh, hang on, I haven't done all this stuff. Comfort one another with these words. It could happen in a blink of an eye at any time. Amen. Until that day arrives, the divine work of worldwide evangelism must continue. When it does arrive, that day, the demonic work of the mystery of iniquity will proceed with rapid speed. You know, everything that happens like that comes like a flood. It comes like a flood. Things happen, you wait and wait and wait for it, and then all of a sudden it happens. So that's how the mystery of iniquity is going to mature like that. The Antichrist will appear. The mystery of iniquity is far more than the New Age movement. It is anything that undermines the authority and sufficiency of the Bible, that downgrades Jesus Christ, and that promises a way of salvation other than the Scripture, than what the Scripture says. The mystery of iniquity is theological modernism and universalism. Everybody will be saved. God is love, you see. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Why would he send anyone to hell? Universalism. Everybody will be saved, eventually. Hey, Billy Graham teaches that. Billy Graham teaches universalism. He says God will not send anybody to hell. Everybody will stand before the Lord and be saved. Did you know that? You know that? You know that famous good preacher, Billy Graham, that everybody's been duped by? He teaches that. Anyhow, it's modernism and universalism. That's what the mystery of iniquity is. It is the belief in secularism and evolution. So, people that believe in that, it's the mystery of iniquity working on their minds. Secularism, nothing to do with spiritual stuff, you see, and nothing to do with God. It includes atheistic communism. Communism today is being in the, what do they call them, the millennials. This generation believe that communism is good, they say. They've done surveys in the United States and here in Australia, and young people today think communism is the best way to go. What we've got is wrong. And this is why they're giving Donald Trump all this trouble over in America. They want communism. I noticed when I was a young fellow, all these people saying communism was good. I said, well, how come everyone's jumping out of communism into our side of the fence? You don't see anyone getting shot trying to jump into the communist country. I heard on the news today, a boatload of people who took off from North Korea, all dead. Washed up on the shores of Japan, a boat full of people. Wasn't full of people, but there was 8 or 10 people in there. They're dead. They're trying to escape from that stuff. People want it. Our young generation today does not know. They've been lied to by the media to think these things are all good. They're being fed. Their brain is being fed with stupid stuff. And when you talk to them about it, they don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. You don't know what you're talking about, you silly old turnout. Communism's great. You get free hospital. Yeah, well, what about your food? You're not allowed to own a house. These sort of things, they don't realise it. But anyway, it can be Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, and anything else that stands in contradiction to God's holy word. It is the world, the whole of which we told in 1 John 5:19, lies in wickedness. It's the world. The world system out there that we've been talking about is the mystery of iniquity that is working in this day. It is also the things of the world which oppose God and prevent the lost from seeing or hearing Him. It's the things of the world and false religion that appeal to the flesh and draw away weak Christians to follow after them instead of remaining steadfast in their devotion to God. All of these things and much more are preparing the minds and hearts of mankind for the revealing of Antichrist. They're going to just accept him when he appears, and he's got all the information. Everybody's been giving him the stuff on Facebook. Let me assure you, everything you put on Facebook has been recorded, and everything that I didn't say has been recorded, because people put my photo up there and say, oh, that's my brother Huey and blah 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 blah, and they find out about me. They got all that information too about me, and I didn't want them to have it. But everything we do and say now, today, digitally, is being recorded. It's being recorded. Part of this wickedness and immoral business is the New Age movement in all of its God-denying glory. It has been described as a leaderless but powerful network working to bring about radical change. No leader in the New Age movement. No leader. It's somewhat true from a human standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, the New Age movement definitely has a leader. And his name is Satan. Satan himself. The same individual who is behind the mystery of iniquity, which has been active in the affairs of men at least since Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's been active since then. The rest of the verse reveals that at some point in time, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way so that the Antichrist can be revealed. Paul also wrote in verse 7, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That happens at the rapture, which is another indication, that we won't be here for the great tribulation. The rapture, he will be taken, he's taken out of the way with the Christians. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We'll be taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit comes with us, no Holy Spirit. And then the Antichrist will have free reign, and he'll set himself up as God, and people will worship him. Let's close with 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17, which we've already read. Let's close on a a good note, eh? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. My mum will go before me. She's a saint. She got saved. I know, for sure. Mum will go. She'll be there. She'll go before me. But we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know what that's going to be like. I really don't know. I'm not scared of heights, but I really don't know what that experience is going to be like. But rest assured, if we're still alive, we're going to experience it. All right? Verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen? Are you comforted? Praise the Lord. Let's pray and close the service. Eh? Thank you, Lord, for this encouraging word from you, Lord.